Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is a CC Radio podcast.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, like you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get is a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You are listening to Believe Paranormal and UFO Radio. My name is Cade Moyer, and thanks for tuning in. If you've had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au, or you can message me on Facebook at facebook.com/believeUFOradio. If you enjoy this episode, there are a few things you can do to help the show. Firstly, you can go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Or you can share the show around social media with your friends and family, and that would help us grow. Tonight I'm joined by Brunton, and Brunton's had some pretty weird activity on his farm down in New South Wales. Brunton, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
It's great to have you on, mate, because the email that you sent me through is really, really intriguing, and I don't want to take the story away from you, but are you able to walk us through these weird activities that you've noticed on your farm?
Yeah, pretty much. The farm is only about 10 acres. It backs onto bushland. It was a bush block when I first moved here and bought it. I've cleared probably a couple of acres, and it backs onto a reserve, a nature reserve, and a national park. It's got a little creek running through it, which is sort of runs with water every now and again. A couple of water holes with yabbies in them, but it's nothing much more than a sort of a dry, wet sclerophyll forest, sort of semi-rainforest area. A couple of strange occurrences have happened over the years, and it all started in about 1998 was the first incident when I had went for a walk with my two daughters. They're aged about, let's say, 3 and 1, around about that age group. And we're just walking along the edge of the forest, which sort of we're cleared to. There's a little trail I'd made. I'm walking along there with them, and I came across a carcass laying down. What looked like a live kangaroo was laying down, sunning itself. Anyway, I crept back. I shushed the girls, and I crept up on it. And to my amazement, it was a dead kangaroo. It was without a head. Its head was missing, and that threw me for 6. Anyway, I went up to it, right up to it, and I felt it. And it was still warm. Sort of, it got me thinking, gee, what's happened here? And I turned it over, and it was still quite supple or soft, like rigor mortis hadn't set in. And usually that sort of sets in like after about 3 or 4 hours, you know. The animal goes stiff, and this still quite flaccid, you know. And there was no blood, which was another thing I noticed. There was not a drop of blood anywhere to be seen.
So its head was missing and there's not a drop of blood around?
No. So it had probably lost its head after it had died. Now, I don't know how it died, but probably having its head missing would have would have been a good reason. Now, I looked where the head should be on the carcass, and it sort of looked like it had been torn off. There were no cut marks like with a sharp knife. Didn't seem to be any bullet wounds or, you know, arrow wounds on it, so it hadn't been shot unless it was shot in the head. And I looked around for the head. The girls were complaining and going, yuck, and I just stayed there. And I looked around, like, within about a 10-metre radius, you know, even went into the forest a little bit, looked around, couldn't find the head. And that sort of put the wind up me. And I thought, well, this animal's been killed in the last few hours. And by the way, that was about 10:30 in the morning, say, you know, 11 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning. And it sort of, I tried to sort of reason how this could possibly happen, you know. Now, there is a bloke who shoots roos, but he's like about a kilometre away, and he's on a 250-acre block at the back on our western boundary. And I didn't hear any gunshots that morning, none, so, unless you use a silencer. But it just flummoxed me, you know. I just totally lost. I tried to reason how this could possibly happen. Anyway, like being science trained, I thought, happen, and I thought, well, maybe someone killed it and dumped it here. But that didn't make any sense. Maybe wild dogs, you know, because we do, you know, have seen dingoes and wild dogs around here. But why would wild dogs just take the head, you know? What, you'd see bite marks and sort of blood, you know?
And you would probably see evidence of a bit of a struggle as well, because...
Yeah, there's no fur, you know, there's nothing. It's just the carcass just lying there. And put the wind up me, I'm telling you. And... I thought, someone's been on my property. That's what I thought first, like someone's and dumped this here. Might have saw me come and dumped it here. But, like, we're on the end of a dead-end street here. It's a dead-end. There's no one on the other side of that. It's just bush for a kilometre, you know, for the next homestead. It's all farmhouse. And he's an old guy. He's a real old guy. He's been retired. He'd be in his 80s, and it wouldn't have been him. And I'm just going, well, how the hell did this happen? Maybe it was running and it hit a fence, and then I thought, how far does it... Because I have got a barbed wire fence that's on the edge of the property, but it's about 200 metres from this carcass. And I'm thinking, how does a kangaroo run without a head for 200 metres?
It doesn't make sense, you know, does it?
No, it just didn't add up. Anyway, I was totally... flummoxed by it, and I asked this old fella. He's an old retired logger, you know. His parents were also timber men, you know, sleeper cutters in the old days. And he said to me, it's probably the hairy man. And I just thought, what? You know, he said it's probably a gift or a present or a gift to you. And I said, come again, what are you saying? Yowie. Anyway, this had come from, this guy's in his 90s, he's an old fella, really old. And that was his summation. And anyway, I didn't sort of believe that at the time, but I couldn't explain it any rationally, any other way. You know, that it just, I couldn't explain it. Anyway, that was like the first instance, and that just, by the way, that happened when we just lost our dogs. We had two dogs when we first moved here in 1995. And this happened in 1998. Now, we had dogs for the first couple of years, and for those first 3 years, there was no inkling or no strange phenomenon happening. Nothing. While we had dogs here. So this is in a period when we didn't have dogs. Now, the next incident happened a few years later. I was on the western boundary of the fence line going on towards the south, and right on the corner there's some good bush rock, and I was picking up the bush rock because they made lots of walls here and retaining walls and bush rock and gardens and rockeries, and I was bent over sort of pulling out pieces of bush rock from a scrub, just laying them there on the floor, and this almighty thud behind me, like someone had lifted a huge boulder and thrown it into the ground. That's the sort of thud it felt like a thump, you know, like, and you could feel, I could feel it through my feet. I swung around, like, expecting to see a giant, you know, 6-7 foot buck, grey kangaroo, you know, because they do that sometimes. They stamp their feet as a warning, you know, because I used to shoot when I was younger. I used to go out shooting. Me and my mates used to always go out, and sometimes you come across big bucks, and you could always tell that they slap the ground with their big feet, and it warns the other does, and well, it's just a warning. And I thought it might have been that. When I turned around, nothing. Nothing to be seen. And my hair, you know when your hair stands up in the back of your head? It sent the wind up me again, and I just thought, what the hell? Anyway, part of my brain says, oh, come on, there's a rational reason for this. It's probably a big bough has fallen down off a tree. Right? Now, this sounded like it came from behind me. This all felt like it came from behind me. There was no big rock behind me, like no big rock had fallen, been thrust into the ground, like dropped from a height. There was just bare ground. It's a fire trail, right? And I looked in every direction. There was nothing moving. There's a few trees, a few thin trees there, and I thought, well, okay, let's look around for a fallen branch. So I'm scouring around, just like I did for the head for the kangaroo. I went in like a 20-metre radius looking for this supposed big bough that had fallen down. There's nothing to match up with that thump that I heard.
And was
and
there,
I could not explain it.
Trees around you? Like bigger, taller trees that perhaps something could have been in?
Well, not real big, tall trees, no. There was a few that are further off. But this sounded, look, Kate, sounded like it was right behind me or within a few meters of me, and that was such a loud thump. It sent shivers up me, like it was quite a powerful thump, you know, a thud more than anything. And I've heard tree branches fall. Don't get me wrong. You know, we've got lots of trees here, lots big ones too, some big grey gums and spotted gums and tallowoods and you name it, ironbark. And when they drop, you usually hear a cracking, and then you hear it, you know, some brush scraping, and then you hear this thud. You know, it's a big bough. But there was no big boughs. Like, I went in like a 20-metre radius. Seriously, all around looking for it. Not anything that could come near it, you know? What could make a thud like that?
Yeah, that's odd, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it was odd, all right. It put the wind up, and I just quickly departed. I didn't hang around. I just thought, this is unbelievable. You know, and I came home and I told the wife, and she said, oh, maybe it was an earthquake. And I said, no, not an earthquake. Did you feel anything? You know? I remember the Newcastle earthquake. I was doing a landscaping job at the time, and I remember as soon as that happened, everyone in the street came out and said, what the hell was that? And that was in Sydney, not in Newcastle. I was working at St. Clair at the time, you know? And my wife's here at home at the time, and I'm about probably 200-300 meters from the house in the far corner of the property, and she didn't feel anything. No one said anything.
That had to be really isolated and close to you.
Yeah, it is. It's sort of, that's what I mean. And so when I turned around, I expected to see something. I expected to see a big rock, you know, thrown into the ground. I thought, you know, sort of nan might, or my son, or was playing a practical joke on me, and I crept up behind me, but there was nothing. No one to be seen. Nothing to be seen. And that, it just sort of made me feel, it's a weird thing, because how do you explain that? How do you wrap your head around that?
You can't. You can only really speculate, really, because, you know, you have to wonder, like, was something throwing big, heavy objects at you from a large distance? And if that is the case, what's powerful enough to do that?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, well, I didn't go much further. Like, once it gets off my boundary, it then drops down to the dry creek. There's a creek. It is dry. It's sort of pretty steep. But yeah, that's probably a good 50 metres, you know, away. And this sounded like it was right behind me. You know, a big thud. Anyway, that was the second incident. But there's been other instances when, you know, I've got a chainsaw and I'll go down to the woods, the forest, to cut a bit of timber. And you get to a spot and you smell. And I used to tell the wife, I said, well, it smells like swamp gas, you know, it stinks. It smells like a wet dog and like LPG gas. You know, someone's let the gas out of a bottle. I said, come back and tell her, you know. And she goes, oh, maybe we've got a leak. Maybe we're sitting on a gas field. And I said, oh, come off it. She said, no. I said, no. But it had been in that one area of the forest, right? And you go there the next day, it's not there, right? Or you go to a different part, like you go to so that's in the eastern part of our property. So that's going towards the road, right? Which is dead end, the dead end part of the street where it's just a big circle turnaround. And then if I go to the northern end of the property, I'd smell it over there. And that's not even in the low-lying area, you know, there's where the water holes. This is sort of it's on a bit of a slope. And then other times I go up to the property near where I got that bush rock, and they'd be there. And I think, what the hell? What is this smell? And it would linger for a while, and then it'd go away. And I just think, and I come back each time I tell the wife, hey, you know, there's that smell again. And, you know, after a while, she said, what does it smell like? I said, well, it smells like someone's let the gas out of a gas bottle, and it smells a bit, because, you know, we have barbecue gas bottles here, and but it's got it like a dead, not a dead animal smell, but it's like a wet dog smell, you know, and I just thought, maybe it's a dead animal, you know, so I'd look, scout around, because down there, firewood up, so it might be a dead possum or a bandicoot or you don't know, you know, and so you scout, you can't find anything, you think, oh, well, but it'd dissipate, go away. So it's not a dead animal. It's not there the next day. It'd get worse, wouldn't it, if you're going down the next day to chop more wood in the same area.
Well, yeah, that's it. And you wouldn't be finding the same smell all over the place. And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was another strange occurrence. But the one that sort of tipped me over the edge was probably happened a couple of years ago now. But it was, I know it was, we went into town. I think it was for Christmas carols. Yeah, it was. It was for Christmas carols. We came back and my son, he's 20s now. At the time, I said to him, look, before you go to bed, mate, can you just make sure you lock the chooks up, you know, in the chook pen? Because, you know, we did get foxes and around here. And wild dogs, but I said, just make sure they're locked up in the pen, because it's got wire on the top and all around it, and it's, you know, fox-proof. And anyway, he did, you know, but when we got home, he was asleep. And rather than waking, I was just climbing in the bed with the wife, and she said, you better check the Taranos, lock the chooks up. And I went, oh, gosh, he's the writer. So he'd been asleep for an hour. We got back pretty late from carols. Anyway, I think I was sort of, I only had my shorts on, and I thought, I'll go out to the kitchen, didn't turn any lights on, I grabbed the little head torch. It's sort of like an elastic band around, it's got a little torch on your forehead, you know? I use it when I used to go fishing, you know? But this one is an old one, and it only had that yellow. It wasn't the really bright LED ones. It was just a little, piss-sweet little yellow one. Anyway, I hadn't turned any lights on. I opened the back door, and as soon as I opened the back door, I turned to go down the stairs. Like, it was about 5 steps to go down off the back veranda. There's these pair of eyes, and they were huge. Huge eyes, glowing, sort of bright yellow. I'd never seen any eyes like it. They were just huge, far apart, and they were about 8 feet off the ground. And I just froze. It just froze. And you know, when you get that feeling, your hair going up the back. Back of your neck.
I'm getting it right now, mate.
Anyway, this thing just, it didn't, it just stood there looking at me for like probably 1 or 2 seconds, and then it turned to the left, it looked to the left, it looked to the right, and then it just went, whoosh, gone. And I, my ears, I got pretty good hearing, and I just listened, and I didn't hear, you know, I went, If it was a horse or a cow, you'd hear it. I didn't hear a damn thing.
Really?
I just saw these two glowing eyes. Yeah, and it's sort of like between, there's two trees. They're not real big trees, but there's two trees. They're probably about 15 to 20 metres apart. I don't know the area. It's sort of near the, it's sort of probably 15 to 20 metres from the bananas and probably 10 metres from the orange trees. And I was standing there, and I couldn't see the outline. Could not see it at all. So it was, from memory's sake, it wasn't a moonlit night. It was quite dark. It was probably a new moon, or the moon had risen, I don't know. But I just couldn't see any outline or silhouette of this creature. All I could see were these almost glowing eyes, like almost as though they were like two two headlights. Anyway, up 8 feet off the ground. Anyway, whatever it was, it took off so fast, and it was no noise. There was no, I didn't hear any thump, like running noise. I didn't hear, which you would expect. You know, I had a bloke, he came out here, and he said, maybe it was an owl. And I said, well, if it was an owl, when it turned its head to the right, it's got a flat face too, you know, because, you know, like if it was a horse, say, right? If it was a horse, the horse has got a long face, you know, and the eyes are more to the side of the head. Well, when this thing turned to the left and then to the right, I could sort of see the eyes, both the eyes, you know?
Yeah.
But this thing was so far off the ground, and there's no tree between those two trees. There's no tree. No, it's just bare ground. It's just grassed. It's a grassed area. And because I know the lay of the land here pretty well, and these eyes were like 8 feet from the ground at least, and it put the wind up me, and I stood there frozen. I just, my jaw must have been open, and it took off. Right now, when it took off, I stood there for like probably 30 seconds. My heart was pounding, and I said, oh, God. And then I decided to go down, and I was very careful, looking at the side, and I went over to the chook pen, and the chook door was actually locked, so Karen and my son had actually already locked it. So I didn't even have to go out, but that was the turning point for me. It was a tipping point where I just thought, these things exist.
Oh, that's...
Because what else? What Australian creature has bright yellow glowing eyes, is 8 feet, he's got a flat face, and is 8 feet off the ground? It, well, probably taller, you know, top of the head. It'd be, you know, it just flummoxed me anyway. You know, so that was the tipping point. And there was an incident not long, because I told my wife, and she sort of, she looked at me like, but I think she believed me. I think she did. I hope she did. I told my son, and he just laughed. He said, oh, yeah, that right. It's probably a cow. I said, well, if this is a cow, mate, it was standing on its back legs because it was so high off the ground. It was, you know, just a black, it must have been a black Angus bull doing ballet. I said, this thing was just, and, you know, there was no sound. And I went down there, there were no actual, there's no hoof prints if it was a big cow. Like when, the septic tank isn't far away either. And, you know, when cows, we've had cows come through here when the fences have been down, during bushfires or through storms. The bloke with the 250-acre block, his cows do get in here and they leave. They make a mess, you know, and you can see their hoof prints and the soft around the septic.
Yeah, they'll tear it up.
Yeah, just muddy it up. And I just thought, I went down, I looked everywhere, and there's nothing there. And so that was the next morning. But I looked everywhere the next morning in full light. But I just scratching my head. Anyway, that's like my... I got, like I said, two daughters, and they sort of... thought I was a mad, you know, bit mad thinking, believing these things after. Then one of the daughters was here. We'd gone out to a restaurant, I believe. Yeah. But not long after I saw this thing, and her boyfriend was here with her, right? They're like in their 20s, right? And they were just minding the house here. My wife and I went in town, out to a restaurant. We came back and they'd locked the house. And I thought, oh, this is strange. Knocked, you know, banged on the back door, let us in. And he's a son-in-law now, he just told me this story, which blew me away. What had happened, he and my daughter were, like I said, in the kitchen area here. And the same back door, you know, that I opened that... when I stepped out and saw those pair of eyes, he went out the back door and he heard a growl, and he said it was a really deep, loud growl, right? And it came from where, just near the orange trees, just in front of them, very close to the house. They've got bananas and oranges there, right? Big couple of banana trees and oranges. And he said it was really close, and he said it sounded like a really big dog. And we do have a dog now, but we didn't have any dogs again. Well, it was that time, you know, we... And he went out there and... we do have a little mutt, but he's about... He's one of those little dachshund, short-legged thingies. He's only tiny. Anyway, he went outside, this son-in-law, and he heard this deep growl. And he thought, oh, my God, what is that? You know, like a big dog. And he walked over to the end of the veranda, and he said, it then growled so loud and so deep, it shook his chest.
Oh, wow.
Now, yeah, and he just went straight inside. He shut the back door, locked it, and he turned to my daughter. He said, did you hear that? And she said, yes. You know? So she heard it too. They then locked all the house up, and they just waited. I think they turned every light on the house and just waited for us to get home. And when we got home, they just told us the story. And, he's not the sort of guy you could scare easy. You know, he's of Aboriginal descent. He's a local Dungutty boy. And he won't stay here. he won't stay here anymore. He also told us a story one night. He was in one of the bedrooms here with Alina, and my daughter. Sorry, you better edit that if you don't want the name. With my daughter, and they were laying in bed, and they were looking out the window up towards the back, the western part of it, and they saw something moving through the bush, and it was big and black.
Oh wow!
Big, tall, black. Yeah, and they figured just make it out, and he's looking at it, and she's looking at it, but they're not saying anything to each other. They're just sort of looking, and then they turn to each other and they go, "Did you see that?" And they go, "Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, did you see? Yeah." So they both saw it, which they will never stay here. Alone again, you know. It's okay, we're here, but they don't want to ever camp here or stay out here on their own. They don't like it. So, Any other things are probably minor, but on this property, things like I was taking my eldest son and my oldest daughter for a bushwalk, sort of like, this is the first couple of years we're here. Yeah, probably the first year we're here. Yeah, first year we're here. And I was going through this bracken fern tree about as high as your waist, and I just noticed some rocks stacked together. And I just put it down to a marker, survey marker. Now, most survey marker pegs are usually white coast. They whack into the ground. This was just sort of a pile of rocks, about five rocks stacked one on top of the other. But it was in the middle of nowhere. You know, it was like in the middle of... You go down that steep bit, I was telling you, you go down to the creek, you come up the other side, and you're going through this bracken fern, and suddenly it's just not even a clearing. It was just these rocks there, and I just said, that's the strangest thing. Who would have done that? And I tell you, there's no one goes... It's like no man's land. It's the back of nowhere, and no one... There's no bush trails or... I was just bush bashing it with the eldest two, and trying to climb up the back of Red Hill at the back of us. But I didn't put anything down to it. I just thought it was just someone. Many years ago, I put these rocks there, and they're still there. But that's another thing that I just thought was strange.
That is odd. It is odd because it's the encounters that you've had around that property there, Brunton. They're fascinating, and everything that you've said instantly makes me think that is 100% a Yowie. That is roaming around your property, right down to the stacking of the rocks, because I've heard so many reports about Yowies. Well, actually, not Yowies, Sasquatch over in the States doing that type of thing.
Yeah, well, you got to be really careful. Like, I've seen a lot of tree breaks here, right? I have. And usually when I go to look at them, I think, oh, it's a diseased tree. It's had a borer in it. It's broken there. And we had a twister go through here a couple of years ago. It was 2010. We had a twister, like a tornado. Like, seriously. And we were the only people that got affected, really. It came down the mountain and went out towards the coast, and we were the only house or homestead that got hit. And we lost a car. Well, a car had a tree fall on it. The garage had a big, giant telewood fall on it. The caravan had a tree fall on it. The back of the house had trees fall all over it. And, we lost 110 trees in the matter of, I'd say, 20 seconds. It came through here, and I've seen lots of trees, right, that have been twisted with the force of nature, you know. This twist that came through here, it's just unbelievable. There's some trees there as thick as my body that have been twisted about, just incredible force. But I have seen trees down in the forest there, and you look and think, how the hell did that happen? Like, how did that get bent over? Why is that broken there? It's healthy, it's not diseased, or it's not, hasn't been a storm, and it wasn't there last week, it's just only happened. So, when in retrospect, when you look back, and this is over the 25 years we've been here, you look back and you think, that probably accounts for that. That probably explains it.
So you're saying you've basically been having these Yowie experiences for close to 25 years. That's incredible.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, but I've only ever spotted that one time. I've only seen a pair of eyes. I didn't even see the silhouette of the damn thing. And that frustrated me, but if only I had a big halogen torch on me at the time, it would have been great, but I only had a... Anyway, I think you got to be... I don't know how a creature that big and that could even survive in the bush. Like, you go around the bush here, and you might be a good bush tucker man, You might know what to... But I tell you, you'd be going flat out trying to get yourself a feed.
Oh, absolutely.
And I know the Aboriginal people did it. A creature like that would eat a lot, wouldn't it?
Well, that's it. That's it. And I was just about to say, it would be hard enough for an average size man to survive out in the bush, let alone something that is 8 foot tall and weighs God knows how many kilos. It would be, the amount of calories a creature that big would need to consume in a day would be astronomical.
Exactly. I know my bush tucker and my son-in-law, he's Dungutty, and he knows he's bush tucker, and it's pretty sparse pickings, and of course you could eat occasional, and I know the Aboriginal people did live in this area, go back 150 years and they're roaming around here still, but they probably hunted in groups, and shared the load, and there would have been, you walk through the wet sclerophyll forest here, and there's not a lot of bush tucker, there's not a lot of fruits and veggies, just isn't, you'd have to be eating possums or a fair bit of meat as well, or eating leaves or grasses. So these creatures must be omnivorous. But that's another thing I always wondered. How could anything survive in that bush that's that big and remain unseen. Like virtually, like for a quarter of a century I've been here, and I've only had a fleeting glimpse, of, and it was only of its eyes. So, but it's all the other things added together, you know. It's sort of, you know.
Well, and that's it, you know, your collections of, I guess, these little tiny encounters with this creature really does, you know, it does lead to this thing 100% being on that property. I have absolutely no doubt. You know, the fact that it started off with you seeing the kangaroo with its head ripped off. And
yeah,
one thing that a lot of international listeners probably don't realize is Australia doesn't actually have any natural predators. There's nothing out there that does that. We don't have bears. I guess you could say we have foxes out there. And depending on where you are in Australia, you might have, you know, like a panther out there, you know, like a black cat or something like that. Because,
yeah,
you know, they're yeah. kind of showing up around Australia here, there, and everywhere. But it is very rare to have one of those on your property.
Oh, yeah. Look, when I was younger, I used to go pigging and, you know, pig shooting, and you know, I used to go out fishing and western, all sorts of game, you know, goats, used to shoot goats, and I used to shoot pigs and roos even when I was younger. I gave that away, but the thing is, there's nothing really dangerous. I mean, then we've got snakes and spiders,
yeah,
you know, but I'm talking about an animal that could eat you, kill you and eat you. And you know, over in America you got grizzlies and, you know, and over in Africa you got lions, and in India you got tigers, you know, with a jack, you know, your biggest, I mean, great kangaroo might, you know, a crocodile, but we don't get them here. I mean, crocodiles are further north, you know, saltwater crocs. That's your biggest worry.
Yeah.
I mean, a feral pig, I mean, it's introduced and I might know, like foxes, but you're not gonna, how do people get, you know, but this thing is huge, and to think that if it's out there, it must be a master of, it must be well camouflaged, it must be a master of hiding and in the shadows somewhere, or, you know, I don't know where it goes. It might go in a cave, or it might just go in the deep foliage or a dense, thick bush, and there's plenty of that around here. Look, I can walk from in a northwesterly direction from my house, right, for 120 kilometres, and I would not see another home. I could walk all the way to a place just out of Armidale called Hillgrove, and I've got it on Google Maps, and I've traced it out, and you would cross maybe a few dirt roads and fire trails, but you would not see another human being if you walk in a dead straight line for 120 kilometres.
Yeah, that's a lot of open land, isn't it?
Wilderness. Hmm?
It's a lot of open land.
Yeah. It's a lot of area to be in, you know, and you could hide in there, and no one ever goes there. It's like, it's just rugged bushland. No one goes into there. When I was younger, I went on I had a mate who was a real outdoor guy, and he said, "You want to come on this hike? We're going down to the Cowmont. It's a river, and it's pristine wilderness. It's just unbelievable. And you it's about an 8-hour hike to get to this river." Anyway, we did it. We got down there, and there were trout, the huge, biggest trout, just in the you could see them in the water. The water was so clear. And that night we camped there, and as we're sitting around the campfire, you know, warming ourselves, it's quite cold. There was this almighty sound of something coming down the hill on the opposite bank, and it sounded like either a huge boulder had been rolled down the hill and was cutting down the trees and knocking them down, or a truck, like a Mack. That's what it sounded like, and we all stopped talking and just, or all our eyes opened up, and we just looked at each other and going, you know, WTF, what the heck? What? You know, what was that? And we just couldn't explain it. So, you know, there are things you experience over your out in the bush, and there's no real explanation. And now, it could have been a rock, but that's a real rare thing to happen. It certainly wasn't a truck, because it didn't come in the news or anything. It's middle of nowhere. Yeah, strange. And another time I was with this guy I used to go shooting with, and you know, we're out between, not far from Hill End. I don't know if you know Hill End. It's an old gold mining town. It's basically a ghost town now. But we're out in the middle of scrub, middle of nowhere, and we gone off the dirt road, and we just pulled over, and we're going to camp there the night. And I'd been a lot of places for this bloke, and he's a pretty solid guy. Anyway, he just came to me. He says, I want to go home. I said, what we just got here? He says, I want to go home. I said, what's the matter? He says, I just got a bad feeling. I want to go home. And he had this overwhelming, like, he couldn't explain it, but he just didn't feel right. He said it's almost like a fear or a dread that he had, that things weren't right. It was so powerful for him. I said, you've got to be crazy. We just flame and drove like 6 hours to get here. And I was just set up. You know, I'm looking forward to going for a shoot tomorrow morning. No, I want to go home now. I want to go home. What's wrong with you? Anyway, I could see he was upset. And all the way home, he did not talk. All the way home. So something really, really upset him.
I wonder if he saw something.
He may have seen something, but he didn't let on to me. He's a bit of a quiet guy, but he... You know, I've known him for, God, since I was about 18. So I've known him for, 50 years. Nearly 50 years. And he's a solid guy, and it was out of character. It was the strangest thing. And when I got back home, my wife goes, what happened? And I said, he just freaked out on me. You know, we got there and he just wanted to come straight back home. There was nothing out of the ordinary. It was just, there was a bit of smoke from the fire because the timber was a bit damp. It's just the strangest thing. And I've had that feeling a couple of times myself where but I always push through it. You know, you feel something's not right, but I usually just push through it. You know, I'm a firm believer you should, you know, you got this. I tell my kids this, you got these, call it sixth sense or an instinct. And my wife's a firm believer in it too. Little voice in your head says this doesn't feel right. It probably isn't right.
I agree.
Get out or don't do it. Yeah.
Well, Bronson, it's been great having you on the show, mate. Those encounters on your farm are absolutely fascinating, and the fact that you're still on that farm, I think it's great. And I reckon you're due for a couple more run-ins with this this rogue yowie that's escaping out your property, mate.
Yeah. Well. There's no harm has come so far, so, yeah. As long as that stays that way, yeah. I think they're part of our landscape, and they deserve to be here just like any other creature.
And that's going to do it for tonight. And remember, if you have had an encounter, get in touch with me. My email address is believe@ccradio.com.au. Or you can message me on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/BelieveUFORadio. Until next time, stay safe, and you've been listening to Believe, Australian Paranormal and UFO Radio.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.